for Budget Committee, virtual and in-person at Kiwanis Community Center is now in session at 5:01. Call to order. Roll call. Kathy Stratska.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
Sean.
Here.
Cameron Gogas. He is not here present, and I do not see him attending the meeting electronically. Okay, the methodology, system development charge methodology and rate schedule, we've all had an opportunity to read and study that. Are there any members of the public that may be here that I can't see? I'd be interested to have any questions or comments.
From the public.
I hear none, therefore I will adjourn the meeting.
Okay. That was complicated.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll open the regular business meeting of Pacific City Joint Water Authority, virtually and in person at the Kiwanis Community Center Kate Jensen Room. It is now 5:02. I'm going to read the rules of conduct. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any kind of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. You will be asked to leave the room to conduct side discussions. So let's move on once again to the roll call. Director Starovska.
Here.
Director Price.
Here.
Director Carlton.
Here.
Director Gogas. He is not physically present. He is absent, and I do not see his response on the video conference. And I'm the director, Tom Donahue. I'm present. Okay, we'll start with, the budget adoption meeting minutes. We didn't have any meeting minutes because we just had that.
These are the ones from June.
We couldn't approve last time because Sean wasn't here. We didn't have a quorum of
him. Excuse me. June 13th, 2023 budget hearing. We did not have a quorum. Was that the deal? Okay. Are there any questions, corrections, or omissions from that meeting minutes? Hearing none. Director Price?
I'll move that we approve the June 13th, 2023 budget hearing minutes of June 13th, 2023.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the budget hearing meeting minutes of June 13th, 2023. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by stating aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Carried unanimously. The minutes of June 27, 2023 budget adoption meeting. Are there any corrections or omissions? Hearing none, Director Price?
I'll move that we approve the fiscal year 2023-2024 budget adoption meeting minutes of June 27th, 2023.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of the budget adoption meeting minutes as stated by Director Price, signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? None. Motion carried unanimously. The minutes of June 27, 2023 special meeting. I have to look at this one myself. This was for the Rupel Avenue Pipeline contract. Are there any additions or omissions for the minutes of the June 27th special meeting? Hearing none. Director Price?
I'll move that we approve the June 27th, 2023 special meeting minutes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the special meeting minutes of June 27, 2023. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, nay. That carries unanimously. The minutes of July 11th, 2023 business meeting minutes. Are there any additions or omissions that anyone noticed? Okay. Director Price?
I'll move that we approve the July 11th, 2023 business meeting minutes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the July 11th, 2023 business meeting minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye and raise your hand.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Carried unanimously. Item 5, our financial report. Accounts payable from July 15th and July 31st, 2023. Are there any questions or comments? I have one. If I can find the dang thing. There it is. On July 15th, we had a consolidated supply company. We had water meters and radios for $8,743. Mm-hmm. How many of those were there? How many water meters? Seems like we just bought a bunch.
Well, and we keep building houses too. I will have to get back to you on how many exactly that was.
I'm sorry to bring it up at the meeting, but it did catch me an eye, and I just was curious. But it also said radios?
Yeah. Every meter comes with a radio.
Oh, excuse me. Okay. And that's all I had for that. Anybody else have any questions concerning accounts payable for last month, month of July? Mm-hmm. Hearing none, we'll move on.
We need to approve. I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for July 15th and July 31st of 2023.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for accounts payable for July 15th and July 31st. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, nay. Carried unanimously. Fiscal year 22-23 general ledger is item B. I'd just like to point out that, as was mentioned in the packet item of the manager's report, that I'm going to brag for you, John, who came in $177,000 under budget. Is that correct?
As a whole, that's my understanding. Was
yeah,
it? Yeah. As a whole, that is my understanding.
Congratulations. Well done. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Any other comments about the fiscal year, end of year 22-23?
No, I just would like to thank Rochelle for all of her work on it, too. That's
absolutely.
Thank you.
It's not easy. Yep.
I go to her to ask permission to spend money.
There are times I say no. There
are times she says no.
John, I notice you haven't said a word, but I'm keeping my mouth shut, too. Okay, item C, fiscal year 23-24 for the month of July, this last July. Any questions or comments about that? Hearing none, we shall move on to our manager's report. Don, you have the floor.
Thank you, Tom. A couple things I wanted to bring up. Just a quick mention about our water rights. We have our application for partial perfection of the water we can show beneficial use for. It is now at the Oregon Water Resources Department. That means that both our permit extension and our application to certify those additional water rights are both with the OWRD. Our work is essentially done with this. We are just waiting for approvals, and I do believe we will get those. But these wheels do spin a little slowly. They've got a lot of other applications and stuff to continue, many of which are more complicated than ours, but we should be hearing back from them at some point in the future, and I do believe that both will be approved. Wanted to talk a little bit about the Ruppel Pipeline Replacement Project. The contract has been reviewed by our legal counsel and approved by them with minor edits. The contract has been signed by us and the contractor for the job. We now have given the contractor notice to proceed. The contractor has 90 days to demonstrate substantial completion of the job. Substantial completion is basically defined as the infrastructure is all installed and online. There will undoubtedly be some road restoration, some shoulder restoration to do beyond that, but they have to have substantial completion done within 90 days. The contract approval process, and really it was mostly our legal review of the contract, took longer than we thought it would. Based off of our notice to proceed, 90 days puts us out almost till the end of October, which is pushing it pretty hard for Ruppel. The contractor is aware of that, and the contractor has indicated that it'll be a few weeks yet before he can clear his plate to the point to break ground on this project. But he believes that he can do about 300 feet of pipeline per day and 4 to 5 services per day. That should put us at completion in early October or late September. So I think we're going to be just fine with that.
What about notification to the homeowners as how they progress? Do they have contact information?
Well, he is supposed to give the property owners ample notice before shutting off water services or things of that nature. So there is a mechanism in place for that. We have contact information. I believe a lot of it's going to be done with door hangers and stuff like that as well. One thing I need to do, and I haven't been able to get to yet, I really got to send out one more letter to the homeowners to talk to them about this delay. Because months ago, we were kind of thinking mid-July. Well, now we're into early August. We're still a few weeks out. I feel like I got to let the property owners give them an update on what to expect.
I would suggest you also have the contractor's contact information in that letter. So if all of a sudden somebody shows up, and all their water's off, they have a contact information to find out timely reconnection.
That's not a bad idea at all. And
can I ask a question for discussion purposes about that?
Sure.
Because we have traditionally had PCJWSA as the contact for people, and in my mind, since we have after-hours telephone service, we have people on call, we have people internally who know who to contact and when a call comes in, it seems to me, from a service standpoint, preferable to leave the initial contact in the hands of PCJWSA and then let the staff person who takes that call be the person who knows who to contact when about what. And that, assuming that that would happen immediately if there were a serious problem. I think just for communication clarity, it would be better to leave it as contacting PCJ.
Well, you might, you're probably right, Ann, and now that I think about it, just because, you know, they'll call us, we'll reach out to the contractor.
We know what's going on. We know who the contractor is, what stage the process is in, all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I think we'll be able to answer the question.
Are you going to be monitoring it daily as well as your regular duties?
Every day we'll be on site. We won't be on site permanently every day, but we will be stopping in probably 2-3 times a day just to monitor the progress, to coordinate with the contractor if we have to.
That would be you and Leonard?
That would be me and Leonard, okay. Yes. Yes.
I think it's important that the PCJWSA is the point of contact. I mean, you can imagine a scenario where the contractor drops the ball on something, and now the homeowner has to contact the contractor, but the contractor's not around, and then they're contacting the PCJWSA, and PCJWSA is not in the loop. I mean, you can imagine that spiraling out of control. So,
sure.
I mean, I think there are customers. We ought to be the one that interact with them, let them know when their service is going to be affected, and let them know that.
Are we letting them know, or is he letting them know?
Well, I believe the way the contract is written is the contractor will give notice to homeowners about there's a period of time. But it doesn't, I'm not sure it has to be that way. And I'm not 100% that sure that's the way the contract is. I seem to recall that was the wording, which may not be ideal, but the contractor's aware he has to provide ample notice. He has to make sure that the road is passable at all times. And if we do get customer complaints, it'll probably be related to some of those issues. I think it's probably even best now that I've heard Sean and Ann's point of view that it's best for us to even give those shutoff notices and stuff. And
well, that's going to mean a lot of communication between you and the contractor.
It will, and that has to go on anyway. I'm thinking that, yes, that's probably the best way, and it'll cause the least amount of confusion with the property owners in terms of who they're supposed to call to ask questions or to voice concerns or what have you. I think that's probably what we'll do then. And just a couple of other things, if we're ready to move on here. We had experts with pipe and joint integrity on site. They were consultants that Parametrics brought with them on site to look at our bridge pipelines. The good news is bridge pipelines are really not too bad, the pipelines themselves. Some of the joints need to be replaced. A lot of the pipe support systems are in real need of being replaced. And these are some of the things that provide the seismic resiliency. A lot of these pipe restraint systems have rollers on them where they sandwich the pipe between an upper roller and a lower roller so that it allows a little bit of lateral shift. Those are oddly all seem to be made out of metal, and they're all rusted tight. So
imagine that.
Yeah. So we will be working on pushing that project through. I'm just gratified that it's not going to be as large a project as it potentially could have had and as disruptive to our customers as it could have had.
So you got to put an RFP out for that work?
No. Well, it really depends on what it's going to cost in terms of, like, the initial quote we get. Anything, like a formal bid process, like what we're going through with Rupel, the project cost cutoff is $100,000. Anything over $100,000, if you're a public entity, requires a formal bid process. This will be probably start out just with reaching out to some mechanical contractors, having them come on site, look at what needs to be done. We will have a list of recommendations from Parametrics in follow-up to their visit. And we'll take a look at how large or complex this project's going to be.
Can we do it in the wintertime?
We'll do it in the wintertime.
Okay.
You know, it'll be on all the bridges. People will probably have to erect some scaffolding, work with some bucket trucks and things that can lower people down over the edge.
They'll probably need to have some kind of containment underneath so it doesn't drop anything into the river.
Yeah, the good news is there shouldn't be any chemicals or anything like that related to this, no paint flakes per se, nothing of that nature, but there may well be reason to install some kind of a system to catch debris or whatever.
Yeah. Darn sure don't want sewage to fall into the river.
That's for sure. That's for sure. A couple of final things. We did have to abandon our plans to hire a temporary employee. We just didn't get any real interest in the position. And we were a little late getting mobilized to put the notice in the paper. In hindsight, we were probably a little cheap with the starting salary. I think we can do some things differently next year.
So one thing you might want to consider is talking to the school district and see if the school district would be willing to give that person some kind of school credit. Mm-hmm. Because I know that some of the other utility type programs that have summer high school students do make arrangements through their school for them to get half a credit or something, a work study credit or something, that might make it a little bit more appealing to some students.
Yeah.
In addition to starting earlier and making salaries a little bit better.
Yeah, some cooperative work experience type of thing.
There's also a program that'll pay 50% of their wages through SDAO for an internship kind of thing for a special project. I just looked at this again. When it first came out, it was stating, like, you were looking for something for general maintenance. And the last magazine, I might be incorrect here, but it seemed like it would be like a general internship. So you create a position like an OIT intern to use it around the plant and everything else, 50% of the wages. And I think it was, God, I can't remember how much it was, something like $40,000 was earmarked. And I guess there was, the Stuka Fire Department got a grant and an intern. The Nesco in Water District, I think, was also in there for. There was like 10 entities that got about $4,000 matching, so like $8,000 for a summer intern. That's a nice way to introduce people to what we do.
Yeah, it does.
Get young talent out there. And there was 10, that's right, there were 10 different entities that got those grants this year, so they're going to do them next year. I think we ought to look into that.
Well, and if the position is moved up maybe a step or two, you might want to look at the community college and get a student from there.
Sure.
That's really looking at trying to get some experience and be making some money over the summer. So, I mean, high school I think is wonderful, but maybe we need to be looking at different options.
Sure.
You know, it's too bad they don't have a water wastewater program there, because mm-hmm. they'd be looking for summertime employment for folks mm-hmm. That want to be in this yeah. field of work.
Well, Lincoln County, they have, you know, community college as well as Clatsop. We, you know, there's nothing wrong with a regional look around.
Yeah, and I know Clackamas has a program that, you know, but no, very good comments. One last thing, last but not least, want to congratulate Charles Connett, successfully passed another certification test during the month of July. That makes 3 certification tests for Charles in the last year alone.
Congratulations. That's excellent news.
And that is the manager's report.
Thank you, John. So if there are any other comments with the manager's report, all right, we'll move on to unfinished business. The Kiawanda Community Center AV proposal. John, can you fill us in on more on that?
Yeah, well, we I think at the last meeting we had reached out to Jeanette with a hypothetical to see if maybe we could get some kind of a price break on our meeting room fees here at KCC. She had to go to her own board to discuss that, and they have come back with a surprisingly good reduction in our meeting room fees. It was $140 per hour. They are offering us only $10 per hour, which means, you know, that's a $260 savings per 2-hour meeting for us. Which I think is very good. It's much better than I expected.
And that's with the $5,000.
That was the hypothetical. Yeah.
And so, which brings me to what we've been working on the last couple of months is being able to use this in a more practical manner. We obviously need some training on how to use this, and we need some training on using Teams. What I envisioned for our meetings was to be able, as I did with a projector, to show an agenda or a presentation or other documents to the public, and all that needs to be recorded. Now, fooling around with Teams myself a little bit, there is a way to share documents, but it's I'm not really sure how it works that well, but it comes down to some training. Now, like I say, I envisioned our ability to record not only our own spoken and visual words, but the audience as well as show these documents. I think having a camera that shows the audience protects us if there's any hearsay about what was said or what wasn't said, and or rowdy type folks that might be agitated. So we have a video of all the entire meeting, including documentation. So that's going to take some training. That's a Microsoft product, and fortunately, Microsoft has, there are several companies in the state that do this kind of training. It includes certification. You get a certification of completion. And there are most Microsoft trainings have a beginner's, an intermediate, and expert, or, you know, very, you know, sharp credentials. So after chatting with John brings us to another thing, with looking toward having some kind of additional certifications for our office staff. But that we'll see how that works out. But as currently, office staff have no way to increase their skills other than to going straight to college and getting, you know, as Rochelle did here. But with certifications like our technical staff get, which are highly desirable by us, the board, I think we need to offer a similar kind of program to office staff to increase their administrative skills. And I talked to John about this briefly the other day, and we're going to see if what he can come up with. Anybody have any comments about that idea?
So right now, are we just, you've got a camera plugged into your laptop? Is that what we're doing? And then you just
run it. This camera here should be, where is it? Maybe this, let me see.
Yeah, that's the camera that's running.
Yeah. This is what I have right now. Yeah. I was thinking to have, like, this is a dedicated computer. He's running the meeting. He's the administrator. We could have a dedicated computer that has an email address. Like this computer, my access to Teams on this is tdonahue@pcjwsa.com. So we would have to have a dedicated laptop that would be like camera one at pcjwsa.com. So it would have its own email address, and put it on a small tripod. This is a very simple little camera, but it's a good one. And that way it would show the whole room, would show the documentation we can put on Teams. But this all takes a little training, and that's the admin thing I was talking about, and I got exactly going to bring it up in other comments, but
Sorry if I jumped the gun. It's the training part I'm wholly supportive of. I guess my question is, why would we be putting forward $5,000 if we're just going to use our own computer and camera and that sort of thing, just to have it on a big TV? I mean, in other words, I guess my thought was
the idea is to have the audience be able to see the documentation and or that they're on camera. But Teams can put up documentation and or presentations, sure, audio and visual. We haven't figured that out yet. But that's what it's supposed to be doing. What I'm doing right here with this camera, this camera here is supposed to do that, but I don't know how it is, why it's not working, or what the deal is. But I didn't realize this was my camera working, but I wanted to use it as an example.
Yeah, I guess that would kind of be my thought, is I'd like to, I mean, for the $5,000, I'd like their equipment to work for us, you know, as opposed to just $5,000 and then we can't figure out how to. So I guess that would be sort of my question, is there a way, can this work for us? It seems weird to me that camera bar is so low, so I'm skeptical of it being able to work well.
I give you that.
So I guess that would kind of be my question, is if this works for us, if there's technology that is part of what the community center spent money on that will work for us, I can maybe see spending the $5,000. But if it doesn't, then it seems like not really a good use of money.
Well, staff, we need to get together with, I guess, Greg or whoever set this up,
Glenn.
Glenn, is that his name? Glenn, okay. And Kathy?
So I think one of the problems is there's never been good training for anyone. I mean, sure. Even Jeanette has problems sometimes. And so I think it would benefit everyone concerned if we did get some good training of all the different kind of components. And sometimes, I mean, for our meetings, we fumble along, but if we're going to be doing something like a community presentation,
which I know we John, have one coming up there.
John has one coming up and stuff, where we want to be able to have information available on whatever screens for the people who are at that presentation. And I think it's important that we have things working and trained and make things very professional looking.
I don't think we have an opportunity to get that specific training other than this, the Microsoft Teams. But I just found this share tray, and it had a Rupel Avenue water presentation on it because I had it there, and that's supposed to be popping up.
Except John's computer is connected to this TV, not yours, so it's not going to pop up.
But why is it using my?
It's your camera. It's in place of the camera in your laptop.
Oh. It's taking the place of that. There it is.
Interesting.
I just found that today. I don't know how to use it, but that is now. It should give me a prompt to advance this slide.
A little arrow in the corner there.
Where?
Bottom left.
Bottom left. Mm-hmm. And. Doesn't show. Ah, here we go. Slide one. Slide two. Okay, finally popped up.
That's just going to go through that particular presentation.
Yeah. Correct. Mm-hmm. But we have a similar presentation coming up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so all we need to do is figure out how to use this thing.
Can I add one more thing, too? Jeanette called me and told me about this fee change. They didn't change our fee because it's like in accordance with us giving them money. It was they did a restructuring of all of their rates.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And we just happen to fall into a certain category that gets $10 an hour.
Okay, so it's not related to
it's not related to the
potential donation.
You know that for sure?
That's what
she
said.
Okay.
Wow. So they just changed?
Mm-hmm. So okay, we're not the only ones that are going to be affected. It's going to be anyone in the community.
My understanding, and I was aware of that, but I wasn't sure which was the bigger driver. My understanding is that they put us into what they're calling a non-profit group category, which would be appropriate. Just a couple of, if I could just throw out a couple of thoughts. This was something that I was opposed to, the donation of the money early on. It's a board decision, but I was opposed to it. Board's been deliberating off and on this issue since November. I've done a fair amount of outreach at the board's request to both the chamber and to KCC at various times throughout this process. It doesn't make sense to donate money toward a system that isn't working well for us. I do wonder what the system is truly capable of if we just understood it. And, I believe and of course, I think in the main room next door is probably where the bulk of the technology went. But I do, at this point, on one hand, definitely don't want to donate money toward a system that we're not happy with. But on the other hand, I feel like we've been dangling this carrot for so long that it's going to be tough to just walk away from it now. And that's just, you know, that's just my two cents.
Anne, you have a comment?
I do. I think it's the potential for any of these kinds of systems is great. And I'm hoping that this is successfully implemented by the center. I have similar reservations as Sean and John have expressed. And I do believe strongly that somewhere within the center management, board, administration, however they make decisions and proceed with their business, that there really has to be some provision for training anybody that walks in off the street and hosts an event here, because every single person or group that comes in is going to be have different software, different connections, and it's not just us. It's everybody who hosts an event here is going to face the same kind of issue. And we have now, I think, for 3 months talked about we've got to get together with Glenn because he installed it and get training on this. And I think that's true. Now, someone mentioned earlier that Glenn's with the chamber. Glenn wears two different hats.
He does.
Yes, he has a role with the chamber, but he also is IconoPro, and they apparently did this installation.
I didn't think it was IconoPro.
We've been told that Glenn is the person who installed it and can train us on it. I don't know the details of
the
that.
The original contract,
but I think it's the
right.
Center's
responsibility.
I think it's the center's responsibility to provide any user of the building in this system with appropriate training and setup.
In the original,
this is not our job.
Yeah. In the original contract that I read, that the installer that company was supposed to provide two trainings.
So, if I think that's in the hands of the Kiwanda Center, it's not in our hands. And I agree with Sean that our original concept was we would make a donation to support the installation of this, but if it's not implemented in a way that we can use it, I would feel it would be appropriate to hold our decision before we finalize anything to see the center get to that point, because they're going to need to anyway. I mean, it's not just us.
Yeah, that's very true.
And we're dealing with public funds that have been paid to us by our ratepayers, and I feel the responsibility to the ratepayers to use that money, as I share with all of you, to use that money responsibly.
Well,
let me see. I guess we need to reach out to
whoever this company is and see if they'll train us.
Let's let the community centers board do that. It's their question to answer, because they're going to have to answer that question with everybody. We shouldn't have to individually, as an organization, go to make up that answer to how do we get trained. The center is going to need to provide that link somehow.
Okay.
I'm going to interrupt for just a section. That was Cameron. He's been trying to get on, and he can't get in. So he was going to try one more time, but I don't know if there's a waiting room or anything.
No, he's sitting right here. I'm just looking at it, and it says Cameron Gogas, no response.
But why does that say?
That's a response to the email. That's not.
What's that? Oh, look, see where it says people, and there's a red dot up there?
Yeah, I'm looking at it
click
here.
Click on that.
Click that. Now click Cameron.
With the green check mark?
Click.
He's waiting in the lobby.
He said, Where is it? Waiting in the lobby. That's not on my screen.
Well, see, that's more Teams training, because I'm used to having that pop up on the screen
in my
face to tell me when
normally
somebody's
it
online.
Does.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Cameron,
good.
Are you on now?
He's still muted.
Cameron, you're muted.
Oh, there he is.
Okay.
Well, welcome.
So I guess on that agenda item, my suggestion would be that we continue the discussions and find out what we can find out between now and the next meeting.
About training, yes.
So have we actually talked to Jeanette and told her what our expectations are and what our problems are and what we would like them to do?
We haven't, but that needs to be the first thing we do. I mean, we have not verbalized it like you've suggested and like we should.
We probably want this moved up there to the camera. Looks like it's just hooked with wiring, so that should be easy to move so you can see the whole room.
With the board's approval, I'll reach out to Jeanette and let her know that we feel like we need more training on the system, but we also feel like it's KCC's responsibility to make the events that people hold here successful with the equipment they've got.
Or at least some person on the staff at KCC should be able to have been trained on all this, and then one of our staff could meet with that person or something of that nature.
Yeah, technology is great, but when you don't know how to use it, it's worthless. So.
Yeah, okay. I will do that, and I think that's a very reasonable request. And I think one thing I will say is even if IconoPro did not install it, I guarantee you Glenn knows how to run this equipment.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Well, and KCC can figure that out with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my suggestion would be to have a member of staff come down and demo everything out at a time other than when we are having meetings.
Okay.
To see if we can make all this thing work.
It'd also be nice if they have a manual or something.
Manual. Or a laminated checklist that says, here's how you hook this up, or here's how you conduct the meeting, or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That seems like there's consensus. Cameron, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, we've been discussing the audio-visual proposal about donating, and they decided to restructure their entire rate structure for their guests, and we are now on a $10 an hour meeting schedule instead of a $140 an hour meeting schedule. But that they did that without us. I lost you. Anybody hear him?
No. We can't hear you.
You said, would it matter if we had more people in the meeting and had to move to a bigger room?
And the price, no.
No.
No, I don't think so. Although I guess I haven't asked that question. It seems like if we were in the big room, maybe it would be a little bit more, but I don't know the answer to that.
However, you need to be aware that they've been struggling with a fee structure, and they have made changes in it numerous times in the last year. And so I think what's going to happen is they're going to see how this works and how it all plays out in the budget. And if it does not play out well, then you can look for another change. And
yeah, for sure.
They do what they need to do
to run the center.
You bet.
Yeah.
And they've got to make
think
money.
We all understand that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Which brings us back to training. Even on Teams, but we're just groping around there. Training seems to be something we need all the way around. Well, let's move beyond that. Unfinished business, the employee handbook revisions.
Yes, at the request, I think Sean spearheaded this, but I think most of the board is in agreement. In early 2020, late 2019, the board adopted a rather robust policy, a harassment policy. adopted it for inclusion into the employee handbook. That was a year and a half before my time, but I do know that when I started to work at the authority, that Michelle and our HR consultant were in the middle of a fairly significant revamping of our employee handbook. And I think that must be when that policy found it, you know, got lost. I have reinstated that policy. Section on harassment that was in there, I have deleted. I have replaced it with this policy. I did talk to our HR counsel a little bit about it. She thinks the policy's fine. She has a couple of thoughts that I'll just share with you. She does think a four-page policy on one topic in an employee handbook is quite long. As far as the content, she thought it was fine. And she did say that if the intent is to pull board member behavior into this policy, she's not sure that this does it. And she did indicate that if there was ever an issue there, that the investigation policy should pretty much be the same as it would be if this happened, you know, between employees at work, where I might lead the investigation, Tom might lead the investigation, but in terms of how that played out, I think she thinks it needs to be fairly consistent. I think, Sean, it was you that suggested maybe we reach out to our HR and folks and just talk the situation over with, have her review the policy that was adopted by the board. As I say, in general, she thinks it's fine, and the board adopted this, so I believe, as the board does, that it should be back into the employee handbook. Sean, I know that, were there any additional tweaks that you were interested in making to the policy?
Well, I would agree with her that it's a little vague when it comes to board members. So I would certainly favor having her, you know, come up with some language or verbiage that we could add to this that would make it pretty clear what the policy would be when the harassment is, or there's a potential harassment involving a board member.
Now, there was one other thing she said, and I'd forgotten it until just now. She did say that, you know, this is an employee handbook. It should be geared toward the employees. She mentioned, you know, the possibility of a board member handbook, which I think through SDAO the board has. She did say that she wasn't sure that an employee handbook is the best way to capture this, but I don't know. I don't know if there's a good alternative.
Well, Cameron or John, can you try turning up your volume to see if that's the TV though.
No, this is my computer volume. Cameron, I'm sorry, can you speak up the best you can, please?
Is Cameron's volume at top notch?
It should be everyone. It shouldn't be just employees. I mean, it should even be under contractors, anybody that has to do contact with the plant. I mean, even mail people, delivery people, anybody. I mean, you're only talking a small circle.
There is a section in there, Cameron, about employees meeting the public, public harassment. So vendors would also kind of fall into that category, I would think.
Doesn't say vendors?
It said the public. We, That's a good idea. We could insert vendors. I had a couple of notes myself. In the very first...
So before we go too much further, Tom, this policy has already been completely vetted and approved by the board.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about making modifications to this, to me that's a separate conversation than the point in front of us now is whether or not this policy, in terms of replacing the previous employee handbook language, is the simple question here is, do we want to insert what the board has already approved into the employee handbook?
Well,
that's one question. Another question might be, do we want to change the language?
I think we want to change some of it.
I don't know that I agree with you. I don't think it's a question of whether or not we can insert this. This has to be in
there.
We've already adopted this.
Well, I understand. I understand.
This is not
an approval
for approval tonight. This is in there.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Well,
now, we can make changes to it later. That's a whole separate issue.
Okay, let's put that on the agenda because there should be some changes.
We're not adopting this policy for the employee handbook. We already did that.
Yeah.
It's in red because it's a change to the document that did not get made when the new policy was approved.
So we've already, yeah.
So the only change we're really talking about tonight is the other one.
Is the very small change, additional change I made on page 7, which was just to provide a couple of sentences in there that talks about our new 4x10 work week.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty benign. It's just something I felt we needed to put in there.
Well, new employees will be interested in that.
Yeah,
for sure.
And well, for the future, then, I think we need to look at it a little closer. I, for myself, didn't do a good job the first time really looking at this when we...
At this what?
The harassment section.
Okay.
I did not take a good look at it as deeply as I should, and I found half a dozen different things that I thought might be changes. You noticed a couple of things. Cameron noticed that the word vendor was not in there, and it probably should be when addressing dealing with the public. And because our employees do run into vendors all the time, and they don't need to be, harassed by them just because they might be mad at us for some reason or whatever.
So could I make a suggestion then that anyone has in this already adopted language, anyone who has further concerns, submit their concerns to John, and John can work with the HR consultant on having her examine those and give us advice on those different ideas. And if there are a lot of them and John and she feel it's appropriate, then we might schedule a separate meeting with her to discuss some of those things or have her available for a meeting or some other solution.
All right. Well, I'll bring them to John's attention,
And Cameron, if you could do the same thing, and anyone else on the board that has similar language questions or concerns, just get those to John and let him take it from there with the HR consultant.
That's a reasonable suggestion. I'll go along with that.
And John, I would just respond to your comment about the HR consultant sort of questioning board member harassment in an employee handbook. I guess my feeling would be the only time I can think of where it wouldn't be appropriate to be in the employee handbook if it was a harassment between two board members.
Okay. That makes sense.
Right? I mean, if an employee is involved, then it ought to be in the employee handbook, irregardless of who the person committing it is.
Right. I think that's a good point.
Where's our fact finding? Who does all that? Because
That came from the HR. Our fact-finding committee was the HR consultant's suggestions.
So maybe that would be a question, Cameron, you could send to John that he could explore with the HR consultant. If you could write that in an email to John so that he can understand your concern or your question.
What it is how do they, what's your policy of fact-finding to verify that all this stuff is true instead of going to the
police? Like an investigation.
All right.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
And that was one of the things that I thought the state's policy that I included in my email a few months ago in return to you, John, had more specific investigation section, which I think is worth exploring.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay, it sounds like everybody has concerns. Yeah. So let's put them down and in writing, give them to John. He can discuss them with the HR person. We can have either a special meeting or an agenda item to have a thorough discussion about this. And
so back to the agenda item for tonight, the employee handbook revisions. I think the revision that's been proposed that has not previously been formally adopted for the purpose of the employee handbook is the language about the 410s. And so I would like to move that we accept and adopt the language that John has proposed on page 7, item C, work week and pay periods.
Okay. We have a motion.
A second.
We have a second from Director Strotska. Is there any further discussion about the 410 edition? That's what we're doing right now, Cameron, 6-month trial period, which will be up approximately the end of December. It's not in the employee handbook.
But he's talking about the 410s. My
motion is that it be adopted in the employee handbook.
Yeah.
If you're going to adopt it, say that's a policy. It's not a trial period.
We decided on a trial period last month.
So after 6 months, if we decide to cancel it, we'll take it out of the employee handbook.
That was my thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we have every reason to believe it's going to be just fine.
The response is overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah.
But after the first of the year, and that's, you know, a 6-month trial is reasonable, and if it doesn't, we'll just go back to what we did and take it out of the handbook.
Yeah, it's a very simple thing.
If we can have on the agenda in 6 months for you to report to us the progress
of
that,
then we'll make no change
or we'll remove it.
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor and a second. To adopt the 410 language on page 7 of the employee handbook. All those in favor signify by stating aye. Raise your hand.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. No nays. Unanimous. Just unanimous for the motion. Unanimous for the approved. Okay. New business. Resolution 23-06, agent of record.
May I begin here? This was something that we had inadvertently omitted from the board packet. With Cameron not being here to see it, I wonder if we should push this off a month because we didn't put it in the board packet. Our thought was it's a small resolution. We've got the board members here. It's on the agenda. If we handed this out to everybody today, that the board could vote on it. I don't know. I was anticipating Cameron being here, so he'd have his own copy to look at. That is not the case. I don't know if the board has decided they want to table this till next month or to go ahead and act on it anyway.
Well, I'd like to act on it, but Cameron, a agent of record would be John. Basically, he is our, you know, number one agent for recording and designating registered documents, I guess, and everything else. And that's pursuant to ORS 198-340. Would you like us to wait, or would you like me to read the simple resolution and get you a hard copy as soon as possible?
My question is there a backup just in case that something happened to John? Did we have a backup in the past?
We don't.
We would just have another board meeting and another resolution.
Right.
And have somebody else be it.
Yeah.
Have we ever had to do that?
No.
If it required a special meeting to take quick action, we could do that.
A designated agent of record. Now that's because of ORS 198-340. That means, what does that mean?
It just means that John is the spokesman of PCJ. He's the person who can speak for us or for you.
For the board.
For PCJ in general.
Okay.
He is the authority.
Okay, we can. What do you want to do, Cameron? Want us to go forward with this?
I think that was yes.
Mm-hmm. That was a yes? Yes. Okay, for the record and for you, I'm going to read this. Yeah. And it's very small. It's short. It's before the Board of Directors, Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority, Tillamook County, Oregon. In the matter of designating an agent of record and designating registered office, resolution number 23-06. Whereas pursuant to ORS 198.340, the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors must designate a registered agent and registered office and file both designations with the Secretary of State and the Tillamook County Clerk. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Directors of Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority hereby designate John Wesley as its registered agent in Oregon and designate the district office to be located at 34005 Cape Kiwanda Drive, Pacific City, Oregon, 97135. Introduced and adopted this 8th day of August, 2023. Attest, Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority, signed by John Wesley, Authority Manager, and by myself as Chair.
And Rochelle, for the benefit of Sean and Cameron, who didn't hear mm-hmm. the explanation about why 2 years into my tenure we're talking about this, could you let them know?
Yeah, we did actually, well, you all, the board, already passed this resolution 2 years ago when John started. It did not get filed properly. It's an oversight on our part. And our auditor said we could go ahead and have it signed because it is in the minutes that it passed, except that our chair at the time was Carolyn and I cannot get her signature.
There. Right.
Okay, thank you for that. Anne?
I'm prepared to make a motion. I'll move that we approve resolution number 2306 in the matter of designating an agent of record and designating registered office.
A second.
We have a motion on the floor and a second to approve the matter of designating an agent of record and designating our registered office. Are there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
That was an aye from Cameron. There's no nays, so it's unanimous. The motion carries. Okay, now we move on to a mobile generator purchase. John.
Yes, we have mobile generators, several of them, in the event of power outages. As you all know, power outages are unpredictable. They can be widespread and they can last for a significant period of time. We have facilities, remote facilities from the office and the wastewater treatment plant, our reservoirs, our wells, our lift stations, all require power if in the event of a power outage. Some of our generators are dedicated for some locations. I've talked in the past, and I'm still working on it, is the prospect of moving the generators, the mobile generators that are dedicated to the 100K, the 300K, the spit well, and the dune wells permanently to those sites. That project got derailed a bit last year because we just started to run short of consulting dollars. And I, if we're going to build four or five generator shacks to store these, to keep them out of the weather, and to keep them secure, I feel like it's worthwhile to have those generator shacks at least engineered in the sense that there's some blueprints that you can hand to a contractor and say, build this, right? But one of those generators will always reside at the authority location where our shops are. This is the generator that we, in the event of a power outage, we have to tow from lift station to lift station to lift station and plug in just long enough to be able to pump the wet well of the lift station down. Then we unplug it and we go to the next one, and then we keep making a circle is how we keep those lift stations from overflowing during power outages. The generator that we have for that explicit purpose is very, very old. I mean, we are talking Vietnam war surplus era stuff. It has gotten a lot of life out of it. It has finally given up the ghost. And we need another generator to fill in and to serve that role going forward. We have we don't need the size of generators we need for to power some of our facilities, but it does need to be mobile. It does need to have the correct power rating. And we have looked, we believe that this Generac model is a good solution for us for this application. I have included three quotes in the board packet. They're all very close to each other. They're all for the exact same generator, the same model, but three different distributors. This one here is 37785. If we go down to the next one, it is 36979. And then if we go to the last one, it is, and I'll have it here shortly, it is 37,546. So you can see how close in price these are. This is the unit we want, and I'm recommending we go with the Platt unit. It may be a few hundred dollars, or you know, maybe even as high as $800 or $900 for the same thing more than others.
$570 was my count.
$570. But Platt is a well-known provider with plenty of local offices, plenty of ability to service these generators locally, and we believe that's worth a few extra dollars.
I would like to point out, would you bring the first one back up?
Sure. The very first one we looked at?
The very first one.
Yes. There it is right there.
I noticed that in the small print up here, it says you get 3% off with a check or wire. In other words, you pay it all off at once. Mm-hmm. And that computed to $1,100 that you'd save. And the price for this one, actually, if you get that 3% off, is $36,651.45. The company is Nationwide Generators. I just wanted to make that point. your recommendation for plat also holds water as far as I'm concerned. All of these, I noticed, have to be built. We order it, then the factory builds it. So there's going to be a time, and I hope they can do it for winter.
So where's Nationwide Generators located?
I don't know that for sure. You can see that it's not just Nationwide Generators, it's nationwidegenerators.com, which, you know, I'm sure it's a reputable place. I'm sure we can get it for that. We'd have to, I did notice the 3% off checker wire that wasn't offered to us during our contacts with them. We'd have to verify that that's really a thing. I don't know where they're out of for sure. And I will say that Leonard did get most of these quotes pulled together. I'm not sure he would know the answer to that, but I'm wondering if we can see some evidence of...
Illinois.
What's that?
Illinois.
Where's Platt located?
Well,
they're all over.
There's a Platt in Warrenton.
There's one in Newport. In Beaverton, they're in Portland. They've got lots of places here.
Yeah.
That is close.
Yeah.
I think it's important that you get it from somewhere that's relatively close, where they, if we have a problem with it, they're able to come here and service it, and it doesn't involve flights from Chicago.
Yeah, and you know, if we did have a problem with it, it's hard to know how complicated resolution might be for a company that's located further away.
Did they say how long it'd take to deliver any of these?
Let me see if...
I think Platt said 2 to 3 weeks in there.
Yeah, Platt one said 2 to 3 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks? That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Platt said that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think gas or diesel.
These are diesel. And also something we have budgeted for.
Yeah. Great.
Do you need a motion?
Please.
I move that we purchase a generator from Platt. And if you scroll down, I'll tell you the price included in the bid.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the price of $37,546.65, give or take a couple dollars.
I'll second.
We have to, and you're better, your knowledge about this, do we have to have an exact number that the quote says, or do we have to give?
When we're purchasing a piece of equipment, we go for the exact dollar amount.
Okay, so that'd be $37,546.65.
So we're basically accepting this quote.
Okay, so that would be your motion.
And I'll second.
And we have a motion and a second to purchase this generator from Platt Electronics, or it's just called Platt, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All those in, any further discussion first? Here? $37,546.65.
I want to say that these are 30 kW. Leonard, are you on the line?
No, they're 45.
Oh, are they 45 kW?
If it
meets our specs.
No, the specs are single phase or triple phase. Single phase is 40, and triple phase is three phase is memory serves. I think 45. It said it was 60.
Yeah.
So they're pretty heavy duty. Anyway, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's unanimous. The motion carries. Okay, last item
8C, the step system installation policies. John, would you...
So I think a lot of you, or I think you all read a statement I had made about this. This is something that I've never really fully understood. You know, we have SDCs for new developments. However, when that new development involves a step system, we've always paid a pretty heavy upfront cost for that. Mm-hmm. And in comparison, all the developments that can just hook up directly to our gravity sewer pay the same SDCs without that large initial upfront expense. And it doesn't seem really equitable to me, you know, in terms of our planning and our, you know, trying to, you know, SDCs are mainly for to put you in a good position for the future as much as anything, right? And I have noticed that one thing we are missing is a comprehensive step system policy. We have little mentions of step systems from what I've seen, unless anybody has seen something different. We have little mentions of step systems in several policies, but we don't have a standalone comprehensive step system policy, and I think we need one because we do have issues ranging from easements and all types of other things and scenarios. It's almost pretty late in the game to even bring this up because we don't have a lot of step system developments left.
How many do you think, approximately?
Maybe 10 at the most.
Yeah, probably 10.
And those are vacant lots.
Those are the vacant
lots. Where step systems would be required.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know, maybe it's because, you know, a pressure sewer is all that's available. In most circles where somebody's going to build a house below a sewer main or something, it's generally the burden is on the property owner to bring that, to make that work. Unless there's something here I don't fully understand, I just see, this just seems like a strange arrangement to me. And knowing that I would like to embark on the writing of a thorough step system policy, I wanted to just start a discussion with the board about this and get their spin on, you know, how long have we been doing it this way? I think we've always done it this way, or at least as long as I can remember. Is there a reason that this question hasn't come up before? And as I begin to draft policy on paper regarding these step systems, is there something I need to know?
Well, I think, you know, when the authority merged their water and sewer, there were some existing septic tank folks that weren't hooked up to us. And that's kind of how we ended up, you know, doing it. But from existing equipment. So that had drain fields and such. But my big question is, how much does the step system equipment cost that we're up front, that we have to push?
I would say...
I think we mapped out. It was like $6,500.
Yeah, I think I was going to say about $6,000, and you're probably right. It's about $6,500 per site.
At current rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, at current rates.
Okay, the other question I have is, we've just approved the rates. So if we include this in a new policy, we will have to upgrade our rates. Is that correct?
Well, I think we will, yeah. Well, I think we would have to separate it out as like a easy hookup or a pressure system hookup.
As a what hookup and a what hookup?
Either a gravity or a pressure system hookup.
And a pressure system hookup is a step system.
It's going to be a step system.
And my thought was, is we wouldn't charge more for SDCs. We'd just change our policy and require the homeowner to pay for these systems.
That would be easier.
I know that may create a stir, but tell me why that's a bad idea.
Well, I was not on the board when the decision was made to go to step systems, but as I recall, and there are those available who probably were on the board at that time and have direct knowledge, as I recall, the step system was an engineering design that was designed. It was an approach for certain areas of the town that was proposed by the engineering people at that time. It was adopted for the entire district authority boundary and has been in place ever since then. And I believe that the rationale for PCJWSA providing that equipment was something along the lines of, it's similar to providing lift stations and pump stations and a wastewater treatment plant and any other piece of equipment that is required in the processing of collecting and processing wastewater. So that it was the responsibility of at that time I think it was just the sewer district. And again, I wasn't on site at that time, but I believe that we have people that can go back into that history if we want. So I view it as required equipment to collect and process wastewater. It's not the individual property owner's responsibility to be responsible for collecting and processing wastewater. It's the authority's responsibility. And so that, plus learning tonight that there are only 10 more lots that are in these districts, suggests to me that we come to understand it. We may feel like it should have been done differently 40 years ago, but it wasn't, and here we are today. Mm-hmm. And I would strongly urge us not to make any changes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's more background than mm-hmm. I've been able to glean. And
I can try to jump around and find somebody that has more direct experience, knowledge of it.
Yeah. And that makes sense. It's just, I was thinking to myself in terms of, the SDCs.
We maintain them.
Yes.
We own them.
Yes.
We own lift stations. We own pump stations. We own the lines that transport all the stuff. And so it's part of that whole system.
Okay.
And we just went through a whole SDC methodology. So were the step systems included in that calculation for how to set our new SDCs?
I looked at it briefly last night, I didn't see it mentioned.
Because it's established practice. It's been in place forever. They're
okay. I overheard a comment. Cameron, do you have a comment? Speak up, please.
I think you're right, Cameron. There was some serious discussion about eliminating step systems throughout the wastewater system.
So what were we going to do? We were going to take a group of homes?
I don't know. It never got to the point of saying what or how we were going to
whatever is more practical or cost.
It never went to that next step.
You would have to have the deepest sewer line.
Mm-hmm.
resort.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not worth it.
It'd be like 25 feet.
Yeah. It wouldn't be.
What do you say?
I think when he said when we bought his house, that was his understanding. That was the eventual plan, was to eventually eliminate step systems and install an alternative. Is that basically what you said, Cameron?
Yeah.
But it never happened.
Eventually do away with the step system, because it was
going to
be
kind of
a cost. And I guess you have to do an analysis of how much it costs per year versus having a lift station. And having a lift station is not the benefit of the rest of the system.
Okay. Well, and I have actually had conversations along those lines with Parametrics. They think that's a viable alternative too.
What's that?
Is redesigning the system to put more regional lift stations as opposed to step systems for every house in the neighborhood.
And that would be, so that would be less than $60,000?
No. They were involved in discussions a long time ago about undoing all of that.
Yes.
But I wasn't party to the details.
Seems
myself.
Like the $60,000.
So there was serious discussion about it, but I don't think it ever got off the conversation level.
$6,000, not $6,000.
Well, he was thinking the 10 vacant lots times six.
Yeah, well... There have to be some long-term analysis of this.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, there's other considerations, ongoing maintenance.
How long do these step systems last? What's the failure rate?
Well, generally, you know, as long as the tank holds up, there's always the, you know, the new pump and occasionally that you have to replace and so forth. But in general, they'll last quite a while if well taken care of. And, you know, and sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't. The unfortunate thing is we do our maintenance on them, but the use and who decides what gets flushed is largely at the discretion of the property owner. We did just have one that was completely full of baby wipes.
So they had to shovel them out.
You know, if they're well cared for, they'll last quite a while.
So you also mentioned, this is for a discussion here, you also mentioned something along a general policy that involved easements, and so we need to have some kind of a step system policy in general?
Well, let me just give you a quick example. We've got an easement that is supposed to allow us uninterrupted or unimpeded access to the system for repair and maintenance. Sometimes we don't get that. Sometimes people pour a concrete patio over the top of the system. And our question is what is one of my questions is what is our recourse? Our recourse in the past, based off some of the letters that I have seen mailed out to customers, is if they don't allow us access or if they violate our easement agreement to the point that it puts the system in jeopardy, we've in the past have sent these people letters saying, well, this system is now owned by you. It is your responsibility to operate and maintain it going forward. My problem with that is I have yet to see an ordinance or a resolution that gives us that enabling authority. And I'm very nervous just making a decision to where, you know, a long-standing policy of where we own these, we maintain these, we even pay for the equipment to install them. And then can we just decide to walk away from them and now tell the property owner that these are now owned by you, they are your responsibility?
I don't think we say that they're owned by you, but we say maintenance and repair is your responsibility. We still own the equipment, but if they restrict our access to it to maintain it and repair it, then maintenance and repair is on them.
Well,
our only alternative on a patio is to take a jackhammer and
dig it out. Valuable point, and I think it's a legal point.
Yeah.
And it might be something you might want to discuss.
I would just feel better to knowing I have a policy to where I don't right. just make a personal decision that, okay, this is now
Absolutely.
On you.
Absolutely.
I'd like to have something that gives me an ordinance, a resolution that gives me that enabling authority. And I have not seen it yet.
Well, let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's okay. dig around in yep. the in You're the history of the place and let's get a hold of some people that were around when those things were done. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to the lawyers. Let's go through the whole thing and create something that gives us in writing
okay.
and the responsibility that we
Just so you guys know, we've discovered 15 or 20 of them that we can't find easements for. So we've even got a we've got to establish these easements, and then another question is well, what if the property owner refuses? Yeah. You know, we need a policy for how to handle these scenarios.
Yep, we do.
So that's Perfect. Anyway, good discussion,
thank
everybody.
You.
Yeah, thank
yeah.
you.
I appreciate
Thanks.
That.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on. Item 9, guest questions and comments. We have one guest.
We got one comment.
Okay.
A gal called last week. I wasn't here. I just got a note, or John got a note from Shamra that I don't know how long this woman has lived here, but it has to be forever. Way back in the day, there was some sort of program that if you paid ahead your account 11 months, you got 12 months for free. After discussing this with Michelle and Tony, they said that has never ever happened. And so I don't know what this woman was talking about, but she was wondering if the board would consider it.
No.
And it's not.
And you no. can't predict what somebody's water bill is going to
right.
be every
no.
month.
No.
No.
Yeah.
And it's a fee for service.
Yes.
We did get one other comment. Somebody was a little unhappy about our rate increase.
Well, we've had a couple people unhappy about it. They said one guy said he was going to come to the meeting, but I don't see him here, so.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he was supposed to. He was going to come to the meeting. That was his plan to talk to you guys.
Maybe he'll come next month.
Maybe.
One comment from me, if it's okay. Remember that a month from now we will have the SDC adoption meeting. If you haven't yet, just be just try to get it be as well versed as you can about those two studies that were done.
That you provided.
Yes.
In a month, at the next meeting, we'll have the SDC adoption meeting. We had the SDC methodology hearing tonight. Now we move to the adoption meeting. We will have made it past our 90-day wait period. Unfortunately, you know when our 90 days was up? Tomorrow. But that's all right. Well, the timing didn't quite work out for tonight's meeting. Plus, we needed to have the hearing anyway.
Yep.
So everybody just be aware that will be...
So at next month's board meeting, prior to that, we'll have the adoption meeting
exactly.
for the SDC. So.
Exactly.
One other note. I've sent all of you copies of the... authority manager review. I would be much appreciative if I had your comments back to me no later than end of the day. And I believe that was Thursday, August 29th. And I will collate all the answers and have it back to you a week, no later than a week before the meeting on September
19th. 12th, 9th. Right. It's all in the email. It was very clear.
I just want to remind, make sure
Thank you
get
for
it.
That.
I know it's real easy right this time of year to because we're all busy. So that's my only comment. Any other comments?
The cursive writing in your email about the authority manager review?
That was just an at symbol.
No, the entire message was in cursive type.
Oh, I see. Yes, that was...
And Cameron's saying that was very hard to read.
It was? Okay.
I kind of agree, but I went,
That was it Comic Sans? No, it might have been Kaufman or Comic Sans. I can't remember which... Which font I used.
Just regular type is fine.
I'll use regular. Okay, Arial.
Okay, Ariel, yours. Well, I'm not aware of things walking away from the plant. I'm not aware of the SBA, SCBA.
What is that?
That's a self-contained breathing apparatus. It's something that is essentially made for first responders to enter into a hazardous atmosphere situation. I don't understand why we would have one, because we don't have chlorine gas and we have gas detectors before we go into manholes. I'm not sure under what scenario that we would need an SCBA for, but I can find out, Cameron, if we had one, it's still there. Yeah, well, I will try to account for it. I'm not aware of that. I'm sure that there are some folks there at the office that are probably very well aware of where it's at. I'll try to get an answer regarding that. We might look as alternatives for what to do with it, because we're not first responders and nobody at our facility is trained to use it. I'm sorry. You know, we were talking about technical difficulties. This sound on people that can come in, this has got to be an easy fix. I just can't figure out what it is. Cameron, can you repeat that, please?
Because maybe your hearing's better than mine, but I can't hear anything.
I can't hear anything.
Beer.
Yes, what about it? Yes, that's all been resolved.
I'd like to see something done, maybe possibly as far as board members. $20 a month definitely cover my phone and all the text mail and things like that. I'd like to see maybe the possibility of board members getting tablets for, not able to attend board meetings and stuff like that.
I agree with you, Cameron.
Getting tablets.
We will look deeper into that. I'll double check with SDAO and see what their numbers are and bring it up as an agenda item next month. How's that?
Yep.
All righty. Then no other comments. This meeting is adjourned.